Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 40. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, author, blogger, podcaster, and event organizer, Joel Zasofsky. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It is not a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed those standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, to live justly, and to celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me today from Paso Robles, California. This episode represents my first venture out of my own generation. One of the young adults leading the voluntary simplicity movement is Joel Zasofsky, author of Experience Curating, How to Gain Focus, Increase Influence, and Simplify Your Life. Joel is the chief simplifier, curator, and founder of Value of Simple website. His motto is Liberate Your Time, Money, and Talent. He hosts the popular Smart and Simple Matters podcast. He organizes the Simple Rev conference and its accompanying All Things Simple Rev podcast. Rev, by the way, means revive and rev it up. The links to Joel's work are in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Joel's a father, husband, obsessive spreadsheet creator, and many more things. He provides guidance on how to simplify and organize life's little details. Oh, and everyone gets to have a blast doing it. We discuss Joel's personal renaissance and also the ominous-sounding World Domination Summit. WDS is a worldwide gathering of remarkable people every summer in Portland, Oregon, for a week-long experience focusing on community, adventure, and service. Joel, I really want to express my appreciation to you because all the folks that I've been interviewing on my podcast so far are people of my generation, you know, old guys. We're in our 60s. They're colleagues of mine that I've known for a long time. My wife and I have been practitioners of voluntary simplicity for longer than you've been alive, since the early 80s. And so we really appreciate seeing new people, enthusiastic, bright, coming along, embracing and promoting voluntary simplicity. So want to get that out there right at the beginning.
Well, I appreciate that. And likewise, despite any age or generational differences, whether someone's 20 or 70, I really appreciate all the folks who are out there who are blazing a trail, some who started way before me. Jerry, you're one of those, and I'm grateful for your influence and for what you've done so far.
Thanks so much. So you had kind of an aha experience a few years ago. Tell us briefly about that, please, to set you on the course to simpler living.
Yeah, it was April 2010. I had my aha moment. My wife called it a personal renaissance, which I have since appropriated because it just sums it up so perfectly. It really was a renaissance. I'm 35 years old right now, and for the first 30 years of my life, everything was arbitrary. I just followed the script that I was handed at birth as a middle-class American to get a good education and go to college, get a comfortable, high-paying corporate job, get married, get a house, get a couple of dogs. I'm just checking all these boxes, Jerry. And then in April 2010, one morning, my wife, Melinda, came in to the office and she told me, "Hey, honey, I'm pregnant." And I was beaming. We were hoping to get pregnant, and she was. So I was so excited. I was thinking to myself, oh man, I'm going to be a papa. And then later that evening, after the reality sunk in, I started feeling terrible. Like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a papa in 8 months. And there are so many things that need to change if I'm not going to be a legitimately deadbeat father, which is kind of strange to say. I mean, you think of yourself as a good human being, you give back and all these things. And sure, I was doing that, but my reality at that point in time was working 55 hours a week at a job that I hated, was sucking the soul out of me. I was purely working for the money in the financial industry. I was staying up until 3 o'clock in the morning, binging on sugar, playing video games while having to wake up early to go to that corporate job that was just draining me. And I realized I'm not going to be physically present for the birth of my child, potentially. I'm not going to be emotionally available, which is potentially even worse. And there's a lot of things I need to change. So I started doing some radical experiments with simplicity, with minimalism, with a paleo lifestyle. And this is the first time in my life that I ever really experimented. Like I said before that aha moment, it was all just what's going to make me comfortable, what's going to create stability in my life, what's not going to rock the boat. So things have changed dramatically and almost always for the better since that moment.
And since that renaissance, you have been reaching out to other people. And I think, if I'm correct, the first way you reached out was through your blog, The Value of Simple. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I started back in November 2010 with a horrible, horrible blog called Enlightened Resource Management, which went nowhere. I came to my senses with a lot of people's help in July 2012, and I created Value of Simple, which is what I've been, at least my online creation goes. That's the hub of everything that I've been doing for the past 3 years. The catalyst for that was, at the time, it was I wanted to help people simplify, organize, and be money-wise. I've since strayed significantly from the organizing and money-wise piece and gotten very heavily into the world of simple living. But the origin story of Value of Simple was to try to help people in the way that I had been helped through minimalism, through voluntary simplicity, through just realizing that there's a lot more contentment, gratitude, abundance in being comfortable with less and potentially seeking out less. So that was the intention behind Value of Simple. And unfortunately, I made some pretty good progress in terms of my ability to help people and in turn help myself through all the things that I've been doing.
Wonderful. Now, after that, I understand came the Smart and Simple Matters podcast.
Yes. Yes. I love the fact that we are talking right now as opposed to, say, doing a written interview. The spoken word is really my medium. It always has been. I was a communications major in college. I've always been really interested in not necessarily public speaking, but facilitating, using my voice to create change. And despite the fact that I wrote a book and I've been blogging for a while, writing just really isn't my thing. I always wanted to do something with my voice. I thought it was voiceovers, and then I realized voiceovers was just a conduit that I was fascinated with to be creative with my voice. Podcasting filled that void and allowed me to interview amazing people, which in the 3 years that I've been doing it, I've gotten to talk to some of the most inspiring, motivating, fascinating, empowering folks that I know or that are around. So this whole podcasting thing has been great in terms of offering value to others, but also in terms of cultivating relationships and just gaining exposure, personal knowledge about what's out there, other viewpoints that I could potentially incorporate. It's just been tremendous. Do you feel the same way, Jerry? Have you received the same benefits from this show?
Oh, very much so. Yes. In retirement, this has made me feel very, very productive. Well, now, from that show, from your podcast and making all those contacts, then I understand you went on to organize an event called the Simple Rev Conference. And in order to promote the Simple Rev Conference, you started yet another podcast called All Things Simple Rev. Now, let's get over, that inevitable bump. What the heck does Simple Rev mean? And then tell us about the conference, which you've had one and another one coming up this fall, and then about the Simple Rev podcast.
Absolutely. You sure have your facts straight. Kudos to you for doing your research. You are just leading us in a very logical progression here. As far as Simple Rev goes, we was Dan Hayes, who's a good friend of mine. He has a great podcast, by the way, called Simple Life Together with his wife, Vanessa. We decided that there weren't any simple living / community building events at the intersection of those two things, at least not in North America. So we wanted to create something. You know, both Dan and I believe in the power of live in-person transformation. And when you're at an event, the potential for that transformation is heightened significantly, especially if there are amazing people in the room or in the area with you. So we left Simple Rev pretty open. The Rev, people ask us all the time, like, I get the simple part, but what's that Rev part? For some people, the Rev means a revival. It means picking up our birthright that we have forsaken as a culture, as humans, to lead a simple existence. I believe that's our birthright as humans, to be simple, to act simple, to think simply. Other people think about it as a revolution. In the 21st century, what does simplicity mean? How do we practice it? How do we use modern tools, communication, and resources to create a revolution in simplicity? Other people think about it individually, as in a revision of themselves. So there's a lot of different parts to it, and we let everybody define that for themselves. It's kind of like if you ask somebody, what's simplicity or what does simple living mean to you? You get a different answer from everybody, which we particularly appreciate. It's a big tent that we've tried to create, and what we're trying to do through events, but also through community building online, is to create this culture of simplicity, to create a community of people who are all trying to have the same kinds of things that you and I think about, Jerry, being intentional, being grateful, slowing down, valuing nothing, like just not doing anything and not feeling like you're lazy or that you should always be busy. These are a lot of the things that we're trying to combat and provide an alternative way of being, of thinking through Simple Rev.
Well, for those people who have got the enthusiasm from the conference or from your podcast or from your blog, I understand that you're trying to build local community. Are you trying to build like face-to-face chapters, or do you see all this being online through webinars and conference calls?
We're trying to do a lot. We have focused on live in-person events already. We had our first one in October 2014 in Minneapolis. We're having another one for about 100 Simple Living enthusiasts this coming October, so October 2015, again in Minneapolis. And we have plans to do more of these bigger multi-day events. But the real impact that we want to have is kind of what you were talking about, Jerry. We still don't have, and when I say we, you know, we call ourselves a brain trust. We're not legally a nonprofit, but we run ourselves like a nonprofit. No one is even thinking about money or trying to make money when it comes to Simple Rev. So my partners, my board of directors, if you will, Andrea, Sarah, and I, Dan has since left just because he has other things to pursue. What we're really trying to create is the infrastructure this year for a chapter-like network throughout the world for folks to get together. Maybe it's in a kitchen with just three people. Maybe it's in a library or a coffee house. It doesn't matter where it is. Really, we want to bring people together in person to talk about meditation, permaculture, yoga, slowing down, what it means to be self-sufficient, what it means to remove some of the layers of complexity that government, that corporations, that advertising agencies have built up over the course of decades and centuries. So that's really where we feel like we're going to make our biggest impact, is creating the infrastructure and providing the tools for folks to identify other people in their local communities who believe what they do and who want to live a simple life.
This sounds a lot, Joel, like Cecile Andrews' Simplicity Circles, which started about 15 years ago and continue in some places from the hub in Seattle. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, I had Cecile on my Smart and Simple Matters show. I interviewed her, and we were talking about simplicity circles, which sounded phenomenal. What we're trying to do is a little bit different. You know, Cecile envisions having 5 to 6 people around in someone's house for a conversation with or without food for a couple of hours. And then there is homework and experiments, and you come back and you revisit and you revise and build together. We're envisioning something a little bit different in that whether you want to have 2 people or whether you want to have 50 people in your local chapter, we're trying to create a flexible framework for people to be able to scale in size if they want to, if they need to, in terms of the location where they occur. We're trying to make it really easy on folks through a field kit, which we're developing right now, that basically turns people into community organizers. There's a lot that goes into bringing people together. One, people need to know you exist. 2, you need to make it appealing for them to come together and as painless as possible, because a lot of folks, they don't want to take time out of their day unless you make it really easy for them to say yes. So yeah, Cecile has been an inspiration for some of the things that we're doing. But what we're trying to do with Simple Rev in this chapter-like structure is a fair bit different than what she's done over the last 15 years.
Excellent. I'm eager to hear more about that as it develops. I will be sure to include links in my show notes to the podcast, and I've already included them in my blogs about your various outlets. And so I'll be glad to do that as time goes on. Now, tell us about your book. It's called Experience Curating, How to Gain Focus, Increase Influence, and Simplify Your Life. Now, Joel, experience curating. You know, I've heard words like simplify and organize and downscale. Curating is a new one. How did you come to that particular term? And is experience in that case a verb or a noun?
It's both. You could tell, Jerry, I like things that have double meanings or triple meanings or that people need to read into. Smart and Simple Matters, Value of Simple, my website, Simple Rev, Experience Curating. These are all things that make you think, I get it, but maybe I don't get it. Maybe there's more to it than what I'm thinking. I'll just tell you the brief backstory of this whole experience curating concept. For me personally, I have a horrible memory. I mean, absolutely atrocious. And I've told people for decades now, I have a leaky brain. That's what it feels like. Things go in, they just kind of leak out. And for the longest time, it was a running joke. It was super awkward, but it was a weakness, a severe weakness. And I just learned to live with it. A few years back, after my personal renaissance got going, I thought, you know what, this is unacceptable. I need to turn this weakness, my leaky brain, into a strength. So one thing that I've always really loved, it's probably going back to my corporate days, is spreadsheets, Excel spreadsheets. So what I started doing, you know, with this focus that I was being present and being more intentional about life, that all these changes were enabling me to have, I started with quotes. So if there was a good quote that I found somewhere, whether it was in a conversation with a friend or on a blog post or a podcast, I would put it in one of my spreadsheets. But I wouldn't just capture the quote and who said it. I would capture the date it was said, you know, where it was said. If it was said online, I would provide the link. I would also categorize that and subcategorize that if necessary, so that I could really easily search and see the trends in terms of what am I experiencing over the course of time? How are my interests changing? Who I'm interacting with? Who's influencing me? And then that just built. I started doing that with meals, with recipes, and with restaurants. And this concept of curation, being an archivist, being a librarian of your own existence for your benefit, whether you have a leaky memory or not, it doesn't really matter. But also becoming a curator, you know, anything that I experience and curating that, you don't have to use spreadsheets. You can use a commonplace book, which is physical. You can use Evernote if people are interested in that. The tools are not nearly as important as that very intentional filter that you have going through life of what's meaningful and how can I use my past experiences to be a future asset to myself and to other people. That's really what it's about.
Well, I really empathize with that, Joel. I use checklists and spreadsheets myself. I'm a very linear person. I've published a couple of collections of quotes and art. One is called The Spirit of Simplicity. One is called Worship Alternatives. So we're on the same page there, that's for sure.
So can I ask you, how do you, all of these, this quote, this tomb of quotes that you came up with, how did you collect all of them? How did you organize them?
Well, they're all available on the Simple Living Works website, both those collections and all the art available free of charge to everyone. It was done over a period of a year or so. It wasn't done as such a lengthy process as you're talking about, because we wanted to make a resource available to lots of people to use on websites, to use in church bulletins and that kind of thing. And they're all categorized by 10 different categories that we come up with having to do with simple living and building community.
I like it.
So let's talk a little bit more about your point of view. Simple Living Works is overtly faith-based. And when I've worked with a number of other simplicity groups in the past, most of them characterize themselves as secular people, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Our mission is to equip people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Now, and I don't mean this critically at all, I don't pick up a faith element from your website, but I do in your interviews with people through your podcasts. I'm not trying to make some sort of dichotomy here. Many of the people I interview are overtly faith-based. Others are secular-minded people. How does that fit into your plan? The reason I ask this is because for me, it's very important that simplicity not just be a big self-help project. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you talk about, you know, reaching out and helping other people. So I know that, you know, you're thinking beyond just oneself. But how does the faith-based element fit in with your thinking and your outreach?
Well, yeah, I'm very clear whenever I talk to somebody. I'm an atheist, but I grew up very Jewish. And when I say very Jewish, from kindergarten through sixth grade, I went to a Jewish day school. My secondary language was Hebrew. For my bar mitzvah when I was 13, I basically led 3 hours of services at synagogue. I went to a Jewish day camp all throughout my youth. I spent 2 weeks in Israel for a pilgrimage, basically. So despite the fact that I'm an atheist right now, there's no doubt about it that Judaism and that Judeo-Christian tradition that is just ingrained in America has influenced me tremendously in so many invisible ways that I can't even tell. So I'm not trying to say that I am without faith. I'm just somebody who doesn't believe in the existence of God, which I know that might sound strange to some people, but that's what I believe. Now, as far as Simple Rev goes, we don't profess to be a secular or a faith-based group. Like I said, we're a big tent. There's people like Joshua Becker of Becoming Minimalist, who has been a great friend, a great ally and mentor to me in my journey through simplicity. He was a pastor for a couple of decades, and now he's a full-time author. But he is really involved in what we do, and he influences the direction that we take. You have other folks like Andrea as part of our Simple Rev Brain Trust. She is incredibly religious, and we use that, you know, we use, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad, you know, all one thing that we need to acknowledge, not just you and I, but everybody, is that so much of what we believe in terms of voluntary simplicity and what that means comes from a faith-based tradition. You know, all of these people who we cherish and that we worship and that we pay homage to were all inherently simple people, and they wanted other folks to be that way. So we also try to recognize our heritage. Again, this kind of goes back to this revival of simplicity. A lot of it is faith-based, and we're completely okay with that, and we embrace it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that, Joel. That's very helpful. I have another question that's more of a curiosity. I've heard time and time again on various podcasts, yours and the Hayes's, the World Domination Summit. Now, that sounds scary. Can you tell us briefly, what is the World Domination Summit and how does it interact with simple living?
I don't know that there's too much overlap, except for there's a lot of people who are into simple living that also end up at the World Domination Summit. Probably a correlation. I don't think there's any causation there. The World Domination Summit, it happens every July in Portland, Oregon for 3 days. It's the brainchild of a guy named Chris Guillebeau. It's going to be in its fifth year in July 2015. I will be in attendance for my third straight year. And it's difficult to explain, and it's kind of like Simple Rev in that way. You know, Chris Guillebeau, the creator of this World Domination Summit, it makes you think, oh my goodness, they're trying to take over the world. It's a very benign kind of takeover. But the three themes of the event are community, adventure, and service. So you have some people who are coming from nonprofit agencies who are trying to make sure that every single living person has access to water. You have other people who are digital nomads. You know, they're on the beaches of Thailand and they work from their laptop doing who knows what. You have other folks who come from corporations or from the faith-based community. So there's no real demographic for the folks who go and attend the World Domination Summit. It's just the most awesome collection of about 3,000 people, all of which are generous, all of which want to connect, all of which want to help each other, whether it's with connecting you with another person, say you need, you know, a technical skill or you need a specific contact in a certain industry, a certain company. Everybody that you talk to there, they don't care how many Facebook fans you have. They don't care if you're big time or if you're a published author. It's just genuine people who are looking to make a positive impact in their own way on the world. Like, these aren't people who are thinking small. These are people who are thinking big and global. And just being around them for the few days that I'm in Portland, it fills me up and it stays that way. It's not like it wears off. Other events that I attend, you feel good, but a week later, you're like, my life's pretty much the same. When you go to the World Domination Summit, it really is a transformational experience. And that's not just me talking. So many of my friends and other folks who have gone, they have the same kind of experience.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Do you have any other questions or comments that you'd like to share?
Again, I just want to say thank you, Jerry, for asking me to be a guest on your show. Like I said, you know, I've just started to get into your show a little bit when you approached me, and just seeing what you've already done is beyond cool. We throw around words like motivational and inspirational, but how long you've been at it and the impact that you've made. And other folks, you're talking about the Simplicity Forum with Cecile Andrews and Dwayne Elgin and Vicky Robin and so many other people. It's so cool to be a continuation of a lot of folks who have been around and who have been trying to make a dent in this hyper-consumeristic world that we live in and that are trying to get people to value slowness over busyness. So I just want to say thanks again for including me in Simple Living Works. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, Joel. I also produce a podcast called The Common Good Podcast, which is part of the One Earth Project. I hope that you and my other listeners will take a listen to that occasionally. So be well, my friend, and I hope that we will connect again.
Thanks. You as well, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Peace. You've been listening to my conversation with Joel Zaslavsky. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. All month on the Simple Living Works blog, I'm providing free alternative resources for the season of Lent, combined with the daily nudges on Twitter and LinkedIn. Well, some positive response recently in regard to my blog, Lent Preview Week Zero. Kevin Tupper from Christian Simplicity said, "Thanks for the shout-out, Jerry." Colleague Kevin and his new Christian Simplicity site is starting a new discussion using Mark Scandretti's book, Free, Spending Your Time and Money on What Matters Most. Kevin welcomes anyone to join in. In regard to my blog, Lent Preview Week Zero, Charlie Kyle says, "Thank you, Gerald, for sharing your spiritual art and profound reflections on living a beatitude-driven 40 days of Lent." In regard to my blog, Peace, Charlie also says, "Thank you, Gerald, for sharing. Shalom." And in regard to my blog, Simple Living Works podcast number 30, with Susan's contributions to Who's Risen from the Dead Anyway, Charlie says, "Thanks, Gerald, for the tip for some good reading." And to Susan Vogt, "Thanks for your reflective writing." In episode 41, I'm scheduled to interview author of Yes, the magazine of Positive Futures, Sarah Van Gelder. Time to wrap up episode 40 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. We do not solicit donations, nor do we sell anything. All our services and resources are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Simply live, learn to live simply so others can simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.